Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Monday edition of Sue's News, of course, in the next hour. That I mentioned my friend Jessica McBride. I probably haven't talked to her in 19 years, but I see her stuff on socials, and she is very dialed into that Supreme Court race up there. And one of the things that we're going to talk about, we're going to do this with Selena Zito here as well, who writes for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the Washington Examiner. She's got a new book that I've already pre-ordered called Butler, the untold story of the near assassination of Donald Trump and the fight for America's heartland. There was a race in Pennsylvania that went for Trump in a district by 16 points that then swung to Democrats. And I figured Selena would be a great person to put this into perspective because you get the national pundits talking about this like everyone has turned in the other direction already on Trump. Selena, good afternoon. How are you on this Monday?
Good afternoon. I'm swell. How are you?
I'm good. So what happened in that district? Because the Wall Street Journal headline was a shock to the GOP from MAGA country. A county that went for Trump for 16 points swings to the Democrats. There's no better person than you to explain this to me.
It wasn't a shock. They ran the worst candidate for the seat. The guy that the Republican that lost, he what's a kind word?
You don't have to be kind.
He's persnickety.
Yeah.
He doesn't get along. He doesn't play well with others. He's not well liked among Republicans and Democrats. He barely wins his county commissioner seat every time he runs in a district that he has no business getting that close. And he's the guy that was the candidate. I was not shocked at all that he lost. And he didn't put the work in. You got to it's a special election. You got to knock on doors. You got to raise a little bit of money and you have to have a good message. He did none of those things and he deserved to lose. And this is not an indictment on Trump. This is an indictment on a bad candidate. And the strategist basically mailed it in. They expected to win. And I apparently forgot that Josh Shapiro won that district. So, you know, this is not about Trump at all.
Well, so I'm so glad you put that into perspective. And that's kind of what I was expecting to hear. But it's interesting because I'll ask Jessica this question in the next hour. And I don't think it's the case in Wisconsin necessarily. But when we see these things from afar, a lot of times you forget that bad candidates matter. Right. If you got a bad candidate, you're going to get your butt whipped. I can't remember who was it. I think this was in either New York or Maine years ago. It was someone named Christine something or other. She was just a horrible candidate. It happened in Nevada as well. You know, you get beat by better candidates sometimes, no matter what the issues might be.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Democrats ran a good candidate and he worked hard, knocked on doors all the time. So, you know, if anybody wants to put this on Trump, it's not on Trump. It's not Trump's fault at all. He had nothing to do with this. He never weighed in on it. It has everything. It's very, very local. I would argue that of the three special elections that are coming up, two in Florida, one in Wisconsin, my guess is that the Republicans will win the Florida races. And it's going to be really difficult in Wisconsin because the teachers' unions are all in on this. Now, that doesn't mean it's impossible, but they've got a ton of money, and they drag bodies to the election site.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I give conservative activist Scott Pressler, like, major props for just trying to get people out to vote, get them, to turn out. We shall see. Wisconsin in an off year is a challenge for Republicans.
Absolutely. It's a weird state. I lived there for almost 10 years. I understand a lot of the dynamics up there. I mentioned my friend Jessica McBride will explain this. But look, you're going to have, you know this, if that goes to the Democrat tomorrow in Wisconsin, I think it's probably more likely than not to do that, although the race is close. The national narrative is going to be, oh, here we go, right? Everyone's broken bad on Trump already, Selena.
Well, of course that's going to be the headlines. That's not the reality at all.
What would you say right now is the reality from this perspective? You do have a lot of people that are concerned about the economy. The stock market's a little, hinky-jinky. You got people that are working-class Americans that might be happy with the tariffs because maybe that's going to rebuild the manufacturing base. But there's other people that think, well, that's going to be a tax increase on my products. I like what's going on because I've waited for 45 years for something like this to happen and for really things to get done. So I understand that there's some casualties and some shrapnel, if you will. I know a lot of people that support a lot of this, but you do have some tepidness out there from other people, Selena. So how do you see this right now?
People are happy. Overall, they're happy. Are they nervous? Well, of course, everybody's nervous about a lot of things. I don't think that this is exactly what people voted for.
Yeah.
And they voted for and they understood it was going to be messy. Can you pinpoint and find someone? Can a reporter go out there and find someone in the wild who's unhappy and write an entire story about it? And this is the defining moment of Trump's candidate presidency? No, absolutely not. People are generally happy. I would argue in the world where I live in Western Pennsylvania, they're overwhelmingly happy.
What do you, because you have to at least giggle, if not laugh hysterically, on some of the media coverage here, even with the signal controversy, which I think everyone has admitted, including the president, that was a mistake, shouldn't have happened. They're going to try to find out some answers. But you would think that the last 4 years in Washington never occurred, Selena.
Well, of course, that's exactly what we expected them, how these reporters to behave, because they still don't understand why he won. So in your intro, you said that I'm at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm not. I am with the Examiner. I'm with the Examiner every day. But I'm taking on a one-year project with the Washington Post. And only doing stories from Western, not from Western, from all of Pennsylvania. My first piece was a sit-down interview together with Senator Dave McCormick and Senator John Fetterman. And my next one coming up is a story on the steel industry here in the state.
Well, that's
in
amazing.
Pennsylvania.
So is that in an effort? Because obviously we've seen, Patrick Shoon, the owner of the LA Times, make some inroads. Bezos has indicated that he wants coverage to be more balanced. Is that a part of that?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm assuming?
I think my understanding is, and I don't think this is far off, Pennsylvania for right now is the quote-unquote in state, right? The state we don't understand is the most important electoral battleground state because it has the most electoral votes in a swing state. And a lot of things just happened in Pennsylvania all the time. Butler happened in Pennsylvania, where the president was shot at, which is what my book is about. Mark Fogel, the teacher who was in Russian prison for several years, he is from Butler, Pennsylvania.
Luigi Mangione, yeah.
Yeah. Where was he found? Pennsylvania.
That's right.
You know, it's where is U.S. Steel located? Pennsylvania. You know, the state is just really culturally and economically important. It's the center of energy in our country and the center of agriculture. So the idea is maybe people understand Pennsylvania from a very intimate Pennsylvania understanding of the state, which is me.
Which is what I've been kind of screaming about in the media for the last couple of decades. Why can't you have people from Missouri or Arkansas or Pennsylvania that are reporting accurately on, you know, that part of the country and taking the temperature? So I love that. Is the stuff with McCormick and Fetterman, is that already something that's out there that we can read, or is that still to come?
Yeah, no, it's out there. It's a great interview with the two of them. They both clearly have, there's a chemistry there and there's a respect for each other. And the interview is very, very revealing. If you guys just go to Washington Post and go put my name in the search, it'll come up. But it was a great interview, and I thought it would be a really great way to introduce people that don't understand my state, you know, and why we swing back from Shapiro and Fetterman to McCormick and Trump. You know, understanding us is the key to understanding Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. Look, I'm sorry, I should have known about this because this was from a few weeks ago, right? The first. And somehow I missed that because I go to the Washington Post every single day. I was unaware of that, so I'm glad that you guided me in. What do you make, one final question here politically, what do you make of Gavin Newsom right now? With what he's doing. I mean, he is so slippery, isn't he? He's trying to criticize the Dems for being too wacky, even though he's just as wacky. But he certainly seems like he wants to run for president, doesn't he?
Yeah, he definitely seems like he wants to run for president. And honestly, whether you like his maneuvers or not, out of all the other ones that want to run, he's actually the one that's taking the most risks and taking most things on the chin, and he's like, okay, well, I deserve that. And it's interesting to me, you know, very different from Jasmine Crockett, Tim Walz, Bernie Sanders, AOC, you know, are very, like, in your face, like, you know, everyone that's ever voted for Republican is bad or dumb or stupid or whatever. And Newsom is like, okay, well, I'm actually just going to invite them and talk to them on my podcast. And it is probably out of all the outside characters that are attempting to do this, he's the only one that right now seems to have the most balanced approach.
The only other person I would toss in the mix on there, and it's only because I heard him kind of accidentally a couple of weeks ago on CNN, is Rahm Emanuel, because he's trying to add a little bit of, I think he's keenly aware of the deficiencies of the Democratic Party. He's got a lot of experience, obviously. I think he's a little slick too, but he seemingly in that interview, the tone was, we got to get away from some of the wackiness.
Rahm Emanuel is the single most smartest Democrat that is out there. He's the reason that they won the 2006 midterms. He's the reason why Nancy Pelosi became the House Speaker. He understood the mission. He recruited moderate and conservative Democrats to run that year for House and Senate. I would never underestimate Rahm Emanuel.
Yep, exactly
ever.
Kind of what I heard a couple weeks ago, so I'm glad to get that confirmation. You're getting very close here. The book's coming out in like 2 months, right?
Oh, yeah, and I would highly, highly encourage people to pre-order it. And it's there's a reason behind that. When you're a journalist writing a book or an author writing a book in D.C. and New York, you're at a very supreme advantage over someone from the middle of the country. The reason you want to have large pre-orders is so that smaller booksellers carry your book.
Oh, that's a good
point. They don't carry your book.
Right.
People don't read it. This is one of the most important moments in American political history. The president was shot at in a field in Pennsylvania. I happened to be within 4 feet of him. There are so many things that people will learn what happened in those moments before and after the conversations that he and I had, very emotional, very, very deeply rooted in faith and beliefs, but also covering that race from that moment on until Election Day in Pennsylvania, in places and things that happened that few people understood or paid attention to.
Boy, that it's almost like you wrote the book. That was such a good pitch because, and you know, I told you this. I pre-ordered the damn thing in January as soon as I could. It's called Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. I know it's going to be great, Selena. Thank you so much for squeezing us here on this Monday. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great
care.
Day.
I can't wait for the book. The book's going to be phenomenal. She's always a great guest. By the way, on the Gavin Newsom topic, here's what he said. He still tries to sound so sane.
These guys are crushing us. The Democratic brand is toxic right now. It's one thing to make noise, but you also have to make sense. Democrats, we tend to be a little more judgmental than we should be.
You think?
This notion of cancel culture, you've been living it. You've been on the receiving end of it for years and years and years. That's real. And Democrats need to own up to that. They've got to mature.
Well, a little judgmental. Even Chris Murphy, you know, I sent this. We're going to try to find the audio because I heard it this morning when I was driving around on Fox. But Chris Murphy, who I would probably put in the category of being one of the wackiest, kookiest Democrats right now on Capitol Hill. I mean, he's saying some of the dumbest stuff that I've heard in relation to Doge and Elon and Trump. But he's kind of like, I guess, the go-to guy for the Democrats on the Senate side, if you will, because Fetterman, you know, kind of makes sense. So they don't want that. They want someone like Chris Murphy. But even Chris Murphy, and we'll see if we can find the audio, he said, what I'm talking about is the infrastructure necessary for an opposition to win will have been destroyed. No lawyers will represent us. They will take down Act Blue. They will have threatened activists with violence. Nobody will show up. Well, that's not the part here. Hang on. That's not the part I was looking for, because he was basically echoing, I think we are a pretty broken brand right now. Right. And I think that some of the people on the left don't want to go through that hard rewrite of what the American Democratic Party stands for. I don't know what they do stand for. And he said that Dems have become the status quo party, adding, this is where he kind of matches up with what Newsom said. He said, we've reverted to defending democracy instead of explaining how we're going to break it down and reform it. And then he says, you know, when we name the people who will have power and we build very easy to understand solutions about how to transfer power, he thinks that that's going to be going better. But here's the part where I really wanted to focus in. We're a pretty, Sue, tell me if this isn't dead on. We're a pretty judgmental party filled with a dozen litmus tests. He said that Dems don't let you in unless you agree with us on kind of everything. And he's right about that. If you don't agree on the gender stuff, if you don't agree on immigration, if you don't agree on defunding the police, we're not going to let you into our little club, which is disaster for the Democrats, and we're going to cheer it on from the sidelines.
Get more at 971talk.com.